That's right. It is Free Talk Live. And it's Mark with you.
And nobody.
And you should feel welcome to call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. And you can also use the Discord lines. You have to go through a little process, but once you do, you sound a lot better, and you only have to do it once. So it's discord.freetalklive.com. That's discord.freetalklive.com. Nobody? Pope Nobody? I prefer Pope Nobody.
Okay.
I have a complaint about your name. Names are supposed to be a disambiguation as opposed to creating more ambiguity. So I'm going to stick with Pope Nobody because Yes. Then I know exactly who I'm talking about.
I subvert nomenclature.
apparently, in Illinois, they have come up with the grand idea of creating what we called confinement cells in prison. You know, the hole.
Mm-hmm.
Segregation. Yeah. So they decided this would be a good idea for kids.
12 solid days in segregation, and it is a kind of surreal experience. I prefer DMT by a long shot.
Yeah, not much fun. And oftentimes they will only give you, say, a religious book to read.
True. Yeah. Which is one of the reasons I became a pope, because it occurred to me that as a church, I'd be able to put in copies of Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead, and have my members able to say, oh, well, I want a religious book. Bring me Atlas Shrugged.
Something,
or
yes.
Man, Economy, and State.
So here from ProPublica, the spaces have gentle names. The reflection room, the cool down room, the calming room, the quiet room. But shut inside them in public schools across the state of Illinois, children as young as 5 wail for their parents, scream in anger, and beg to be let out. I'd like to just remind everybody why confinement exists. Now, you know, custody, care, and control, this is all part of the prison system. But it came from Quakers in the late 19th century attempting to come up with something that was more humane than the old dungeon system that sort of was used up to that point.
And failed abysmally.
They really did. I mean, spectacularly. The idea, well, Quakers, they're about sitting in silence and listening to God. So they thought, I wonder if we just locked people in rooms and demanded absolute silence from them, whether they would get better. The answer, no. Mm-hmm. No. What it did is drive them insane in many cases. Mm-hmm. That was abandoned, but modified, not just by the Quakers. At that point, everybody liked it. Oh, this is great. Let's lock people in little rooms. Not that much different than a dungeon, but the whole quietness, introspection aspect, that's the Quaker thing. So
I never noticed a lot of quietness or introspection. I remember a lot of people screaming, a lot of people fighting, you know.
Look, when you're dealing with prisoners, you're dealing with people who are presumably not doing very well in society, so you need some kind of system to deal with it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I think that if we got rid of the drug war, we'd probably have about 20% of the people in prison that we do today.
But I would tend to agree, both because, you know, there's the people who are in there directly because of the drug war, and then you have the people who are in there because the drug war made them poor, or because the drug war deprived them of a father.
A whole variety of things. Yeah, that it would take a little time to reach that 80% number, but it's some conjecture. Give me a decade and in the drug war. Now, I'm not saying there won't be some ramifications societally, but we're talking about prison here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there you go. Going on with this about school, or, mm-hmm. you know, as I like to call it, middle class welfare babysitting day prison.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because it's middle class welfare, because the middle class people have not yet figured out middle-class people like me, most of whom have not figured out.
The bourgeoisie?
I guess that's what we are. I don't know.
Only in French.
Have not figured out that it is a terrible effing idea to turn your kids over to the government. I mean, a terrible idea.
Well, yeah, if you send your children to Caesar to be educated, don't be surprised when they return as Romans.
Indeed. And they do, over and over again. Now, I get that we're all robbed in the form of property tax to pay for these things. But, I mean, 85% of the kids in the country go to government school.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, there you have. I mean, the government school has had the kids for more than 100 years now. Anything that we've got in America, you can blame on that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, if you've got an issue with the millennials or the Zoomers, guess who raised them? The government.
They had them for 13 years. Half of the time they were
most
awake.
Of them went to college, too, even though there weren't enough post-college jobs for most of them. Yeah. And that's the doing of the school system, too.
So Illinois has this great idea of locking kids in quiet rooms. I'm going to go on with a story from ProPublica. The students, most of them with disabilities, scratch the windows or tear at the padded walls. They throw their bodies against locked doors. They wet their pants. Some children spend hours inside these rooms, missing class time. Now, for a kid, these hours, I remember giving timeouts to my son. He hasn't had one in years, but the rule was that I had heard is 1 minute of timeout for the age of the child. Hmm. So I think he was 6 the last time he got one. And the reason he got it is because he was showing off his new bicycle to the men who were laying metal roofing on top of a shed we have. So if the metal roofing lets go, it cleaves them in half like a guillotine, right? He had been warned 2 times to get out of there, and he really wanted to show off this bicycle, and he felt like that was the best position to do it, right there in the cleaving zone. And so, you know, off we had to go for a little timeout to, you know, think about what was going on. But, you know, and I punishments, they're relatively easy when you've got a kid who's normal, not all so easy when the kid has disabilities. These autistic kids can be very difficult to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
However, this is probably a bad idea. It certainly doesn't play well in the press, as you will soon see, because I'm going to go ahead and finish this story.
And I would have to say that a lot of these kids in these schools, I mean, they're not going to grow up and get jobs. That's not going to happen. There are autistic kids who will grow up and get and get jobs. Don't get me wrong. It's a long spectrum, but a lot of them are not going to grow up and get jobs. And in that case, corralling them into these schools is just cruel.
Right. I mean, it's not a system that works.
No.
I mean, I get that there's some mandate for the public schools to take every kid. That's a problem. But another point we ought to look at is that public school students, I don't say graduates because they don't all make it, but public school students are far overrepresented in the prison system in the United States, meaning that if you send your kid to a private school, or if you homeschool your kid, or, you know, boarding school or whatever the other options are, your kid is much less likely to end up in prison. So we could, I mean, this is just a correlation, not a causation situation, but we could presume that government school is not very good. With this data, we can presume that the government school is not very good at keeping kids out of prison.
Well, for the kids who do end up in prison, at least it prepared them for their future.
Right. Now Illinois is going one step further and showing them what confinement cells are like. They're missing class time, and through it all, adults stay outside the door, writing down everything that happens. So they're in these little padded cells, and people are peering in at them.
What's the suicide rate for these adults? That's what I want to know. How many of them can't take it?
855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Now, we're reading the story from ProPublica about Illinois' public school system locking up kids in quiet rooms or confinement cells, padded cells.
Nobody thinks that's a good idea.
It certainly doesn't play well on the air. I get the frustration that many of these staff members must feel dealing with these kids that they can't do anything else with. However, this is a bad idea.
I mean, what I can't imagine is, I can imagine being a parent and saying, oh, okay, well, I'm going to send my kids to public school because that's just what people have done, what people do, and I've never thought about it. But what I can't imagine is having my child come back from school and say, they locked me in a room for 5 hours by myself and I wet myself, and saying, well, you'll have a better day there tomorrow. My response would be, you won't be there tomorrow.
I don't even know. I mean, these parents must feel locked in a situation where they don't have any other way.
Well, that should give them a little bit of empathy.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed it should. If this story confuses you like it does me, perhaps liberty.menu is the place to go for you. Libertarians have wanted for a long time a directory of liberty-minded businesses, and liberty.menu is that. It's also a little bit of a social networking site. So it's a tool for your community. Go check it out. At its core, it's a directory for events, businesses, and digital content. Listings can be rated and reviewed, and there's a social networking aspect, as I said before, where you can connect with others. Use of liberty.menu is exclusively for individuals who reject the initiation of force and those who agree to abide by the ethics of the non-aggression principle. If you don't know what the non-aggression principle is, it is an agreement that you make, a principle that you abide by that says that you will not initiate force or threats against other people. It's really simple and sounds great. Sadly, our world does not abide by it. You can go to liberty.menu if you want. You could use coupon code FTL when you sign up. You get a special badge there for our listeners. It's a liberty.menu. Going on with a story from ProPublica, in Illinois, it's legal for school employees to seclude students in a separate space to put them in isolated timeout if the students pose a safety threat to themselves or others. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Until you realize there are no mental health professionals administering this. And every time that we give mental health professionals unfettered use of a particular treatment, they tend to abuse it at first. And I believe that's what's going on here. If the students pose a safety threat to themselves or others, yet every school day, workers isolate children for reasons that violate the law. An investigation by the Chicago Tribune and ProPublica, Illinois, has found children were sent to isolation after refusing to do classwork, swearing, spilling milk, throwing Legos. I don't think any of these things that have been mentioned here have sprung up in the last 2 decades.
Yeah, Legos can be deadly, though. You ever step on one of those?
Right. They should be treated as something that one needs to be careful with. But, there were toys in my kindergarten class at private school, and I'm sure some of them were thrown. I know there was milk spilled. I know there was swearing at my schools, and lots of kids refused to do classwork.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers did not need to resort to rubber rooms to deal with that. School employees use isolated timeout for convenience, out of frustration, or as punishment, sometimes referring to it as serving time. Now, serving time is about punishment. It's not about a kid who is a danger to themselves or others at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
For this investigation, ProPublica Illinois and the Tribune obtained and analyzed thousands of detailed records that state law requires schools to create whenever they use seclusion. The resulting database documents more than 20,000 incidents from the 2017-2018 school year through that's December of 2018. So yeah.
So 20,000. So this is hundreds of times a day this happens.
Yes.
Just in Illinois.
Right. And presumably, that's not even covering the entire state.
Guessing. Right.
Because there's not even that many schools that actually have these rubber rooms.
Mm-hmm.
For those, about 12,000 included enough detail to determine what prompted the timeout. So, you know, in 8,000 of the cases, 40% of them, they didn't bother to give enough information in this legally required documentation to tell you why the kid was even in there. In more than a third of these incidents, that's a third of the 12,000, so 4,000, school workers documented no safety reason for the seclusion. So they didn't even bother telling a lie.
Uh-huh. And that's the thing. Reviewing this paperwork is only going to reveal misdeeds by teachers who don't have the wit to lie when they break the law.
That's exactly right, because all you had to do is say the
and
kid.
I don't want that kid teaching my kid, or that teacher teaching my kid, because I want my kid's teacher to know when you break the law, you lie. That's how you do it. I want them keeping my kid out of prison.
That's the rule, right? The criminal defense attorneys will tell you that the first three rules of criminal defense is deny, deny, deny. So I never heard that. This is the problem with this rubber room situation is that all they have to do is say, well, Johnny was pinching himself really hard. And there you have the self-harm. No problem.
Right.
State education officials are unaware of these repeated violations because they do not monitor the school's use of the practice. Parents, meanwhile, often are told little about what happens to their children.
Mm-hmm.
The Tribune ProPublica Illinois investigation, which also included more than 120 interviews with parents, children, and school officials, so 120, not a lot, but when you're doing a, you know, newspaper story, that's a lot of interviews compared to, say, the 20,000 incidents. And they provide the first in-depth examination of this practice in Illinois because school employees observing the students often keep a moment-by-moment log. The records examined by reporters offer a rare view of what happens to children inside these rooms, often in their own words. And, you know, maybe you don't live in Illinois. The likelihood is you don't.
I'm almost certain I don't.
Most Americans don't live in Illinois.
And most I don't blame them a bit.
Don't live in Illinois. But if they're using these padded cells in Illinois schools, then this is just a testing ground to see whether or not they come farther, go out farther and farther. Mm-hmm. Could come to your community next.
How long have these things been in use?
We'll examine that. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE.
Have you heard of LibertyCon? LibertyCon is not only a convention with great speakers like Whole Foods CEO and co-founder John Mackey and Nobel Prize winner Vernon Smith, but it's also unique because you get a chance to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations, one-on-one for the purpose of career advancement, business, and internship opportunities. April 3rd through 5th in Washington, D.C. You can learn more by visiting LibertyCon.com and use code FTL for a $10 discount on your registration. That's LibertyCon.com.
Talk Live. Illinois is locking kids as young as 5 years old in padded cells. And it doesn't look good. Rich, you asked just before the break how long this has been going on. And I, having read the story through previously, it didn't stick out of my mind. And the reason is this has been going on for some time.
Wow.
There's more than a decade. About a decade ago, Illinois was named the number one state in the United States for this practice, and a few states have it banned. But you know, it's going on around the United States at different levels. You know, I'm not sure that every school has, I doubt very seriously every school has a padded room, but seclusion in a locked room, you know, it's something that they can do. Mm-hmm. Want to tell you about Edge Wallet. I've been into crypto. We've been into cryptocurrency here on Free Talk Live for a long time. This was likely, and I have yet to be disproven on this, the first mention in mass media of Bitcoin, and right here on Free Talk Live in 2010. And I have gone through a lot of cryptocurrency wallets in that amount of time. So a wallet is an application that you get on your phone or your computer that allows you to hold cryptocurrency. The very best is Edge Wallet. Confident with it, very responsive. They're so awesome. And they're available for, of course, your Apple phone or your Android phone. You can buy, sell, trade, and securely hold cryptocurrencies. Your cryptocurrency really never has to leave your Edge Wallet. It's user-controlled. You possess your own money. And that's really important. You do not want what they call a custodial wallet. It has support for BTC, Bitcoin Cash, Ethereum, all kinds of Ethereum tokens, Monero, Ripple, Stellar, and many, many more currencies that I'm not going to mention here. We've got a veteran team building since 2014, and like I said, very responsive. You can secure your freedom with Edge Wallet. Go to edge.app. It's edge.app. .app. Simple. I love it. Love mine. Going on with the story here from ProPublica, without doubt, many of the children being secluded are challenging. Records show school employees struggling to deal with disruptive, even violent behavior. Surely these things go on in school. Now, why they go on in school, it kind of baffles me. I went to a private school, and if you were always disruptive and violent, they'd simply kick you out.
Well, okay, there's your first reason. Public school can't do that.
That's right. And that's the problem. Yeah. My thesis here is that public school is foundationally a problem. The way it is designed is a problem. The idea that they must take every student, and they're going to attempt to take every multi-shaped peg and pound it through their same square hole, whether they have to use a rubber room or corporal punishment or just, you know, quiet time, whatever it is that they're going to do to get the kid to behave, they're going to do it. And so you don't have this a variety of people bringing different ideas to bear on the problem to see what works best. You have the same sort of regimented organization that has this long lineage of, well, this is how we do it. And if they're a problem, we just keep promoting them on to the next grade. So pretty soon the next school has to deal with it. And going on here. Records show school employees struggling to deal with disruptive violence, such as hitting, kicking, and biting. Workers say that they have to use seclusion to keep everyone in the classroom safe. Keep in mind, several states have banned this, so they don't have to use it. And the practice can help children learn how to calm themselves. And that may be true if they keep the kid in there for a short period of time, but there's a period of time after which this isn't working anymore.
Right.
And we'll read some of the stories as to what happens. But disability advocates, special education experts, and administrators in school systems that have banned seclusion argue that the practice has no therapeutic or educational value, that it can traumatize children, you think, and then that there are better alternatives. I mean, the one thing that the American prison system is really called out for is its practice of this long-term confinement cell situation that they have, these segregation cells.
One state has even ended it for death row inmates.
Wow, really?
Yeah, which I've never... Every death row inmate I've ever heard of has been in solitary confinement. I think that's universal up till now. And, you know, imagine what that would be like.
to be a,
you're going to sit in this room by yourself for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Often they can yell back and forth to each other, but there's, of course, the guards don't want them to. And then there's this ongoing thing of trying to send messages and, you know, just having somebody to talk to. We are a gregarious beast. And if you're going to keep us alive, to keep us sane, we need to talk to other human beings. Yes. And that's just the way that goes. So... let's see. Going on here, no federal law regulates the use of seclusion, and Congress has debated off and on for years whether that should change. Last fall, a bill was introduced that would prohibit seclusion in public schools that receive federal funding, which I presume is all of them. A U.S. House...
see, that's not the job of the federal government. Even on this, this is awful. This shouldn't be happening, but... the federal government should not have the power to regulate it, because if they can make everybody go one way, they can also make everybody go the other way.
This is the problem with the Constitution and the where the founders failed. I know nobody listening to me likes to hear that kind of talk, but this is a complete failure of the Constitution. And what you've done is just pointed out the federal constitution limits itself to the things that it talks about. It's very clear in the 10th Amendment that anything that's not mentioned in the Constitution is a right of the states or the people, respectively. And that means that if it's not mentioned, that it shouldn't be involved. However, they don't tell states that they can't have this. They tell schools that receive federal funding that they, if they want the funding, they must stop the practice.
Well, the federal funding is also unconstitutional. There's no constitutional authority for the federal government to fund education. That's not their job either.
Well, that I don't know that it's that I don't know that that's true.
It is true. The word education doesn't exist in the Constitution.
It's true, but they're allowed to raise the thing that the fact that they were given weights and measures, and by weights and measures I mean money. I mean, that's it's in the Constitution. The federal government can create money. Only the states must have their money backed by gold or silver. Gold. So the federal government, therefore, can have its money backed by nothing like it does.
Right.
And then it can distribute that money however it wishes. You know, up to this point, there seems to have been no particular problem in doing that. Passed a law.
There's nothing in the Constitution that says they can send it, spend it however they want, though. Quite the opposite. Article 1, Section 8 lists the things that the federal government is authorized to spend money on. And it's a list of like 17 or 21 items. It's very specific. For example, they're authorized to build post roads,
yeah.
That specifically,
that one I remember.
Roads for use of the postal service, not a whole interstate highway system. You know,
I'm going to have to read that to be sure, because I figured they got around the rules by just basically withdrawing funding as opposed to passing laws. I consider all federal marijuana legislation to be completely unconstitutional and valid.
Right.
However, I would say that this Chapter 1 funding that they're talking about here, this educational funding, might be constitutional.
It's not unconstitutional to withhold funding. They're required to withhold funding for everything for which there is no constitutional purpose. So it's paying it in the first place is unconstitutional.
855-450-3733. That's 855-450 free, as in Free Talk Live, or use the Discord lines at discord.freetalklive.com. Talk Live. You don't get from Free Talk Live what you get from other talk shows out there. Right now, across America, pretty much every talk show is either ravenously defending Donald Trump's honor that is being besmirched by those evil Democrats, or breathlessly salivating over the impending corpse of the Trumpster that they're going to have.
And both sides, interestingly enough, seem to be refusing to address what to me is the most important issue, but go on with that thought. I'll come back.
What's the issue?
The most important issue is, was Trump actually investigating corruption? If he was trying to do a frame job, then he was doing wrong. That's impeachable. If, on the other hand, he was looking to expose corruption that was real and was already going on, then I would say that's part of his job as the top law enforcement officer in the nation. You liaise with other nations and you get their armed forces and their law enforcement officials to work with yours.
And if you like that Free Talk Live does different things and lets you control the airwaves, you can call in and talk about right now. You can call in right now at 855-450-3733 and talk about whatever it is that you think is important. And if anyone was on the line, we would be talking to them, and they are not. So it's completely open. I know a lot of people out there think, oh, I don't want to call in. I'm going to have to wait 20 minutes. That's not true on Free Talk Live. If you like this service that we have, then you should consider amplifying the show. If you go to amp.freetalklive.com, as Mal Esclavo has, he's a gold amplifier. I presume that's a male. I don't know the name Mal. Mal, whatever your gender, we salute you.
Indeed.
It's amp.
And we won't assume.
It's amp.freetalklive.com. A-M-P. Amp.freetalklive.com. So, Pope Nobody, we had spoken about the constitutionality of funding in the last segment for the Department of Education. Before we get back to the school, the story about Illinois locking up kids in rubber rooms, I just want to talk about this. I think you are mostly right, but I'm going to read the clause that I think gives them the out. So first, Section 8, as you mentioned, Article 1, Section 8, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States, but all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. And then they list a whole bunch of things that they're allowed to borrow, and they're very specific, to borrow to pay for. Now, presumably they could pay for them if they had some excess of money, like a fund, but the United States government has not had an excess of money since ever. Under the Jackson administration, there might be an argument that it went to zero at one point. Some people say it was down to 40,000, whatever, 40,000, negative 40,000. So at no point in the United States history has there ever really been not a debt. So they're always borrowing if they're spending. So I would say that if it's not one of these things, and the closest thing was...
Okay, where though does it say anything about what they're allowed to borrow? Because I don't remember that introductory paragraph didn't say what they were allowed to borrow. And as a matter of fact, I think the last item on the list you're about to read says they can also borrow money.
It says to borrow money on the credit of the United States.
And that's the last item.
Yes, and then it has a semicolon, and then it goes on to a whole bunch of a list of things that could be 20 things long, like you mentioned. One of them is to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for a limited times authors and inventors' exclusive rights to their respective writings and discoveries. So this is patents.
So patent and copyright.
Patent and copyright. So it sounded like at first, oh, this might be the clause. No, that's not it. Here's the final clause. To make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers, so all the powers that were above there, I'm not reading them all, and then all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. So if they make a department, I guess they can just do what they want. Now we have a department so we can pay. Look, I'm not kind of inconsistent
with the purpose of the Constitution. I think both Federalists and Anti-Federalists would have said that analysis is wrong. the
that's why I think this thing should be rewritten.
Well, certainly I think rewriting it in new language would be a good idea.
Remember, to shove this thing through, they had to threaten to put a blockade on Rhode Island. There was a document in place, the Articles of Confederation. And right. We're told through school that these were a failure. Why were we told? Because the government that is under the Constitution pays the school. So we never get to hear about what was good about the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
And clearly Rhode Island was not convinced by the Federalists' writings on this, because they weren't going to vote for it. And they needed a certain number of states to get this going through. So, well, we can blockade Rhode Island.
Yeah. The other interesting thing about the Articles of Confederation, first sentence of the Articles of Confederation says, this is an eternal compact between the states. Well, the interesting thing about that is there's no such language in the Constitution.
Right. So
there's no implication. We can't dissolve that thing at will.
That's very interesting that presumably secession's acceptable from the constitutional standpoint, and B, apparently the Articles of Confederation are still in effect because it's eternal.
Indeed.
Let's go on to Joe calling in from Michigan. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, a minute ago you brought up Ukraine and Trump and all that, and I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to defend Trump. I'm not going to do it. I'm an independent. I'm just kind of watching the whole thing, but it's kind of starting to seem like, you know, I don't think he did anything impeachable, but I will say this. I'm not crazy about us giving money to foreign countries, but if we're going to do it, there needs to be conditions, man. You can call it quid pro quo, whatever you want.
Sure.
But if you got a government that you know is full of a bunch of dirt bags and they're corrupt, and I mean, how much money has the UN dumped into Africa and half of it ends up in the pockets of these dictators? And we've done the same thing for years. The United States has.
It's almost as if it's the plan.
Ron Paul's classic line is that foreign aid takes money out of the pocket of poor people and rich companies and puts
countries
and puts it in the pockets of rich people in poor countries.
Well, he's right. If we're gonna help countries out, we shouldn't be helping countries. We need to, I would say, only democratic countries. We shouldn't be helping dictators and all this stuff unless they're changing or, you know. There needs to be conditions, man. I mean, and the idea that we can just dump money into Ukraine and it ends up disappearing, you know, and I'm sorry, Joe Biden and his kid, the only reason they're not in prison is because of Joe Biden, who he is, you know. I mean, that whole deal stinks to high heaven, and the media, this is what people say when we got a biased media, stuff like this. They covered it up and knew about it years ago. And these politicians, like I saw a meme that said they send our sons to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they send their sons to Ukraine or wherever for cushy jobs. And that's exactly what it is. And, you know, it's amazing to me that they're accusing Trump. Like I say, I'm not defending the guy.
What are they accusing him of? I mean, is it the Russian memes or is it obstruction of justice or is it
they're accusing him?
By the end of this, I guarantee it'll be something else.
They're saying that he withheld funds.
I know.
For military money or something, unless they would go after Biden.
He offered a quid pro quo.
That's exactly what Biden did.
Yeah, well, it's what foreign policy is for. We give these countries money so that they will do what we ask them to do. You know, there's always quid pro quo in foreign aid. There's always conditions on foreign aid.
I'd say
if you do certain things, we will stop giving you aid.
It
That's
looks like
the
it's
condition.
Provable that Hunter Biden was probably involved in one of these
oil companies,
economic hitmen situations on Ukraine. And you know, your thoughts on it are fine. I can't say I know a heck of a lot about it. Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. 855-450-3733. To me,
are you a prisoner? Are you stuck in a relationship where you're not allowed to do what you really want? Are you stuck in a job or business that sucks up your time and saps your freedom? That describes most men, but there's another way to live. I'm Caleb Jones, and my staff and I have taught hundreds of thousands of men how to create low work, high-income, location-independent businesses, and how to date women under your terms. Go to freelifeinfo.com to download 7 free books and podcasts so you can live a life like this too.
Free Talk Live.
Kicking off the second hour of Free Talk Live, you are welcome to call in and talk live here on the airwaves. That's what we do here on Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And the nobody formerly known as Rich Paul.
We are reading this story. I've been reading it. You've been commenting. Rich, Pope Nobody, your choice.
You can call me Rich as well. I mean, I adopted the Nobody name for political purposes, and like Ian will shush people when they call me Rich, and I'm just like, yeah, you don't have to do that. It's okay. I'm still a person. I'm not a pronoun. Nobody isn't a pronoun. I don't know what kind of word it is, really. Is it a noun? Pronoun. Because it's the absence of...
Let me look that up at the break. Going on with the story from ProPublica about Illinois, the state, locking kids as young as 5 years old up in rubber rooms. 19 states prohibit secluding children in locked rooms. 4 of them ban any type of seclusion, but Illinois continues to rely on the practice. The last time the U.S. Department of Education calculated state-level seclusion totals, in 2013 and 14 school years, Illinois ranked number one.
Number one in murder, too, isn't it?
I don't know.
At least Chicago is. Chicago is what I was thinking there. But I wonder, like, are they doing this in rural Illinois, or is this something they're doing to inner city populations only?
I don't think
this would go over nearly as well in the rural areas.
I don't know, but I suspect I have the same suppositions that you do. Although state law requires schools to file a detailed report each time they use seclusion, no one is required to read these accounts. And as we read previously, 20,000 times this was done in the last school year, 2017 and 2018. I think the school year and a half, by the way, ending in December 2018. Several school districts officials said that they had not reviewed seclusion reports from their schools until reporters requested them. The Illinois State Board,
those people should be named.
These are the district officials. So, you know, I mean, that's right there. The schools in their district, they're not reading them. Illinois State Board of Education does not collect any data on schools' use of isolated timeouts and has not updated guidelines since issuing them 20 years ago. Having a law that allows schools to do something that is so traumatic and dangerous to students without having some sort of meaningful oversight and monitoring is really, really troubling, says Zena, Nyditch, founder and leader of Equip for Equity, a disabilities watchdog group that helped write Illinois' rules in 1999. Informed of the investigation's findings, the Illinois State Board of Education said it would issue guidance clarifying the seclusion should be used only in emergencies. Officials acknowledged they don't monitor the use of isolated timeout and said they would need legislative action to do so. Sorry, we can't look at our own reports. Somebody needs to tell us we should.
I haven't read the statute, so I can't say for sure that that's nonsense, but it sounds like nonsense, because if you're requiring somebody to prepare reports, that somebody is a subordinate of somebody else.
Who should read the reports?
Whatever reports they're writing, their boss should be reading their reports.
Let me read a few of the quotes here from the kids. Please, someone respond to me. I'm sorry I ripped the paper. I overreacted. Please just let me out. Is anyone out there? Things written down. These are quoted by the officials. Please, please, please open the door. Please, I'll be good. Open the door and I'll be quiet. That was elementary school in December 2017.
Wow. And I'll be quiet. So clearly this kid was in there for being a risk to silence.
I'd rather die. You're torturing me. Central School, Springfield. Let's go to the phones. Toby calling in from
That last kid was absolutely right. Go ahead.
Toby, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, what's going on?
All's well. What's on your mind?
So my friend brought up the USS Liberty. Have you guys heard of that at all?
Yeah, this was a ship that was fired upon by
the
Israelis like 20-something years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, and nothing came of that. Like, how was that okay to us?
I guess. I mean, the presumption was it was an accident, I guess.
I'm pretty sure it wasn't an accident is the thing,
yeah,
though.
Like, I don't think accidents like that really happen very much.
What about the United States shooting down a passenger jet from Iran in 1989?
Were we not at war?
No. Passenger jet? I mean, you weren't at war and it was a passenger jet.
I don't think that was a mistake either.
It wasn't a mistake. But the United States did apologize for it later.
What's up? You know, it's Israel and America, like two countries that are very, you know, close to each other, like not physically, but a lot of relationships between each other. And for that to happen, like, were we compensated at all?
I don't know. I didn't look into it that much. I couldn't say.
Yeah, it's I think you're on to something there. I think that the relationship between the United States and Israel is very problematic for the United States. And
I agree. I've
come to that opinion even more since Epstein didn't kill himself. Because
that's true too.
You know, he was gathering blackmail material, and the smart money seems to be saying he was gathering it for Mossad.
So, certainly the accusations have been made.
Really?
That seems like the most likely group. If the Mossad wasn't using an agent to somehow lure in and get under their thumb powerful businessmen and politicians from the United States with young ladies and a jet, then I'll bet somebody starts soon because it's a really good idea.
Well, it's documented that the CIA was doing that to foreign diplomats 40 years ago. So yeah, I think. The whole thing between the U.S. and Israel, everybody is so terrified to say anything about Israel.
And, about Israel, yeah.
Yeah, it's frightening to me the amount of control they have, and I have absolutely no problem with Jews. It's not about Jews. It's about a foreign government, any foreign government, being able to control the United States.
Oh, I don't trust this government and controlling the United States. As far as I'm concerned,
that too.
Intelligence agencies are already gathering information off of the phones and computers of judges, politicians, and captains of industry, and they're using that information to control the behavior and the votes. They don't need to control every vote. They only need to control the votes that fund them and affect them. And so, you know, whether it's the CIA, the NSA, the Mossad, I don't really care. These organizations scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who's the head of them?
Who's the head of them?
Jews.
Ah, here we go.
See, that's not really...
I'm a Jew.
See,
I'm not in charge of any of them.
The thing is, obviously Jews run the Israeli government.
What we're talking about.
No, it's not.
But every government... Every intelligence service is run by people, and it's a whole rainbow of things. The Chinese government is no better than the Israeli government, certainly, and I'm pretty sure very few of them are Jewish. There's a lot of mafias in the world. There are Italian mafias, there are white mafias, there are black mafias, there are
It's the Jews
Jewish
killing
mafias.
The Uyghurs in China, and you know it.
See, I...
Thanks for the call, Toby.
You left me speechless.
Yeah, always. It's always. I mean, this is the problem with talking about anything that has to do with Israel, because at the core of it, it's the Jews. Now, come on. Somebody's religion doesn't have anything to do with this crap. Power corrupts.
Free.
Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. What we're talking about right now is this investigation into Illinois public schools and their use of padded cells for kids. And, yeah, we've been talking about this since the start of the show. I think it's really important because I don't think people even know this is going on. There's documented in this report here 20,000 uses in something like a school year, maybe a bit longer than a school year in Illinois, and four states ban it, but that means that 46 don't.
Wait, four states banned it? I thought you said 19 before.
They 19 have restrictions for ban.
19 have restrictions or bans. So four states ban it, 15 have restrictions on it, and the other 31, they can do whatever they want?
Presumably.
Oh, good Lord. That's terrifying.
So this investigation...
And Illinois, the state we're reading about, is one of the ones that has restrictions on
They're
it,
number
presumably.
One.
but they also have restrictions. They're not one of the 31 knock-yourself-out states. Throw the kids in the room and let them throw themselves at the door till they knock themselves out states.
I don't even know what's going on in the other states. Based on records from more than 100 districts in Illinois, they found seclusion was used in schools across every part of the state and by a range of employees. Yeah, you're going to love this, Rich. Teachers, aides, social workers, and security personnel. Did you hear, social worker might qualify as a mental health professional, but the rest of them don't. And to lock somebody in a seclusion cell, I kind of feel like that ought to be something. They don't seem to have any training surrounding this at all. Some districts declined to provide records or gave incomplete information. Others wouldn't answer even basic questions, saying the law did not require them to do so. Of more than 20 districts reporters asked to visit, only three said yes. And they've got an example here. Is this something we're ashamed of? It's not our finest. Christian Schrader, the director of the Black Hawk Area Special Education District in East Moline, which documented about 850 seclusions in the time period examined. So it was about a year and a half. They examined 850 seclusions occurred in that time frame.
So that's at least three every school day, probably
one
more
district.
Than that. Wow.
Yeah. Schrader said she thinks her staff generally uses seclusion appropriately. Of course, she's not required to read the reports. Acknowledged room for improvement and met with reporters at the district's administration building, but wouldn't let them see the seclusion rooms in the schools across the parking lot. Nobody wants to talk about those things because it doesn't reflect well, she said. So there you go.
Wow. And she's actually saying this while she's refusing to show them. So, you know,
it doesn't sound like she's a fan.
No, but yet, so then she should be showing those things off. She should have a media open house for those freaking things if she doesn't like them. Because, you know, if people don't know what's there, they're not going to do anything about it.
About 20 minutes after he was put in one of the school's quiet rooms, and that sounds like too long to me. I wouldn't put a kid in time out, and that's just having them sit there. I wouldn't put them
well,
in.
Well, by your rule, they'd have to be 20 before that was appropriate.
Right. There's a lot of 20-year-olds I'd like to see in 20-minute timeout. After he's put in one of the school's quiet rooms, a 5-foot square space made of plywood and cinder block. How big is 5-foot square?
It's a lot smaller than my cell was.
5-foot square is, I mean... It's, well, 2 feet by 3 feet is 6 feet square. So this is enough for an adult to sit down but not lay down. I don't think a kid might be able to sort of lay in a fetal position maybe in 5 square feet, but I doubt that it's designed for that. 9-year-old Jay Skill, he wet his pants. That's after 20 minutes. An aide, watching from the doorway, wrote that down in a log, noting that it was 10:53 a.m. on February the 1st, 2018. School aides had already taken away Jace's shoes and both of his shirts. Jace then stripped off his wet pants, wiped them in the urine on the floor, I presume trying to clean it up, I don't know, and sat down in the corner. How could he not sit down in the corner? This thing's so small.
Yeah.
I'm naked, Jace yelled at 10:56, so that was 3 minutes later. Staff did not respond, the log shows, except to close the door for privacy. By 11 a.m., Jace had also defecated and was smearing it on the walls. No adults intervened, according to the log. They watched and took notes. Dancing in feces, doing the twist, staff wrote at 11:14 a.m., noting that the boy then started pacing back and forth. I don't know how far he would pace in 5 square feet.
Well, it would be the square root of 5. So that would be, you know, it's 2 and change.
Maybe it's only 1 foot wide.
But no, it's not 5 square feet. I think if a 5x5 cell would be 25 square feet.
No, it's saying 5 square feet is what the article says.
5 square feet?
I know.
That's, oh my God. That would, for an adult, that would be standing room only.
Yes.
I mean, the square root of 2, that's 2.5 feet. A fat person wouldn't be able to physically fit. It's 5 square feet.
It's just cobbled together out of concrete and plywood. So, I mean, you know, it works for kids.
It's a, oh my God, this is child abuse. This is brutal.
It's hard to call anything else.
Any parent would be put in jail for doing this to their child.
I think that's a really great point.
And should be. And I don't believe in jail. But, oh my God. To do this to a child and leave them and take notes on what they're doing without helping them is just, I mean, if these people taking these notes are not psychopaths, they have to be killing themselves.
I need more clothes, he called out. We know, the aide answered. Jace banged on the walls and tried to pry open the door. He sat against the wall, crying for his mom. At 11:42, this is almost an hour now, let me out of here. I'm crying alone. The incident began that morning when Jace ripped up a math worksheet and went into the hallway trying to leave the school. Jace was diagnosed with autism when he was 3 and began having epileptic seizures at 5. In the first grade, officials at his local school referred him to the Kansas Treatment and Learning Center, a public school in the East Central Illinois for children with emotional and behavioral disabilities. Jace's mother, Kayleen Beaven, had heard about the quiet rooms at Kansas, I think it's Kansas, Illinois, and had strong reservations about the concept even before she took a school tour and stepped inside one. She recalls being told that he would never be shut inside alone. You want them shut in something this small with people? I remember standing there and thinking, like,
I think this must be a mistake. It has to be 5 foot square and not 5 square feet. I hope.
I'll read it again. Maybe I misinterpreted. 5 foot square. It's a 5 foot square space.
So okay. Is that 5 feet on each side? That's going to be a square 5 feet on an edge for 25 square feet.
Well, that suddenly makes a bit more sense then. At the very least, it's a closet. 855-450-3733.
I want to tell you about my favorite cryptocurrency wallet, Edge Wallet, at edge.app. Edge is the wallet I use more than any other, and that was true long before Edge Wallet became a sponsor of Free Talk Live. Edge Wallet allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold your cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, Ethereum, tokens, Monero, Ripple, Dash, Bitcoin Cash, and more. It's available for both Android and iOS, and you can download it via the Play or App Store or via Edge Wallet's website, edge.app. Secure your freedom with Edge Wallet.
Free Talk Live. Reading this story from Illinois about these seclusion rooms they're using on children as young as 5, and I mean, the story just gets more and more heartbreaking as we read through. I mean, I'm stunned by it. My name's Mark.
And I'm Nobody.
And I want to tell you about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com, longtime sponsor of Free Talk Live. As I said previously, we were the first media that I know of to mention Bitcoin back in 2010. Didn't have a lot of parlance at that time, but boy, did it change. Now, if you want cryptocurrency news and you need to find out how to use this cryptocurrency stuff, Bitcoin.com should be your first stop. They make it possible for you to watch a short video that sort of tells you what Bitcoin is. They allow you to download. They've got a wallet right there that you can use. They will give you a little bit of free Bitcoin cash to get started. And they have all the news. They have a staff of news writers, as opposed to many of these crypto news organizations, which just swipe stories from other locations and reprint them. Bitcoin.com. I love it. And I appreciate their YouTube channel, which I watch every week too. Just go to Bitcoin.com. They've got a new trading platform called local.bitcoin.com that allows you to buy and sell Bitcoin Cash with people around the world without having to do a whole bunch of, know your customer rules or interfaces or anything like that. It's great. That's local.bitcoin.com. So this story from ProPublica here was telling about a young man who had quite a time and ended up in one of these quiet rooms, they call it. Really, it's just a rubber cell. In this case, it wasn't even that. It was just plywood and cinder block. It didn't even have padding on the wall. Kid came unglued.
I'm trying to think how many of these school shooters came from Illinois. I know Aurora, Illinois was a...
No, that was Aurora, Colorado.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yep. It said, I don't know what it's like, and I don't know, I didn't know they wrote all this down, the mother said. None of it should have happened. In the nearly 50,000 pages of reports, reporters reviewed about Illinois students in seclusion, school workers often kept watch over children who were clearly in distress. They dutifully documented kids urinating, spitting in fear or anger, and then being ordered to wipe the walls and clean and mop the floors. Kansas TLC is operated by the Eastern Illinois Area Special Education District, which serves students from 8 counties and is based in Charleston, Illinois, and has about 70 regional special education districts that teach students who can't be accommodated in their home districts. And, there's got some stories here from people who were talking about having been there when they're a little older. One guy says that it irritates people. You're isolated from everybody else and you can't talk to anybody else. And the Eastern Illinois District's executive director, Tony Reilly, said he had not grasped how often seclusion was being used in his schools until he read some of the documents requested by reporters. Looking at a stack of 8,000 pages at one time really kind of hit home, Reilly said, when he met with reporters on the spring. He had not responded to recent requests for comment, including about specific incidents, probably because he's been told to shut up. Reilly, an assistant.
Or he just didn't know. It sounds like he wasn't paying any attention to what was going on in his schools.
That's the other possibility. Reilly and his assistant director, Jeremy Daughtry, said they were surprised and concerned about how frequently staff used seclusion after students were disobedient but not physically aggressive. And Illinois law is very clear that it's supposed to be for a kid that's a danger to himself or others, immediate danger to himself or others.
Yeah, but of course, these days, if you express a political opinion somebody doesn't like,
that's threatening.
They're terrified. They're threatened. It makes the space unsafe that you disagree with them. So I think they need to maybe make that language a little more specific.
When we read it, it reads punitive, Daughtry said. We have to do something to address this, Reilly said. In October 2018, the kid here, he died at home in rural Paris of a seizure in his sleep. He had not returned to Kansas TLC that fall. His family had decided to homeschool him, in part to keep him out of these quiet rooms. In the family's living room, Jace's mom shared photos of him in a Wiggles concert. Oh, the Wiggles. Gosh, I'd forgotten all about those. My son's...
I never knew about the Wiggles.
The Wiggles is like the Monkees for youngsters, even younger than the Monkees were, right? The Monkees were sort of aimed at teens and tweens, if you recall this. They were kind of like...
I watched the Monkees when I was a kid.
But the Wiggles are aimed at a younger audience, and they play sort of younger kids' songs.
Okay, so like... You know, if you cut Barney into several pieces.
Yes.
Okay.
Not quite as bizarre as the Barney stuff, but yeah. You know, I like Barney too. I never had a problem with it, but some people, you know, thought it was weird. anyway, it says that he loved his dad, he loved me, and he loved his Grammy. So he had issues, but they weren't his fault. He couldn't control it. I get that it's probably very difficult to deal with these students and that... there's a challenge, but I think that this is a really bad idea. One of these situations is that the educator will tell a kid that they have to take a head down. And so a head down means you have to, you know, put your head on the desk and be quiet for a period of time, probably a minute or so.
Mm-hmm.
But if the kid won't do it, they send them off to the quiet room where until they will put their head down. And, you know, all hell breaks loose in these quiet rooms. They're anything but.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, at some point or another, we have to determine that this system of punitive use of these quiet rooms isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the kid's out of the classroom. And where else we got to do things with them? I mean, when I was a kid, they took you out of the classroom and somebody talked to you. Maybe it was the assistant principal. Maybe it was the principal. Maybe it was the teacher who told the rest of the class to, you know, zip it for a minute while she went out and she or he went out and talked to the student. But, you know, part of the problem here is that teachers are forced to have these kids in their classrooms. And these special education situations can make it that much more difficult. Parents oftentimes need a break. But, you know, I mean, we're just not prepared. This isn't working. I don't know what to say to make it all work. I'm blessed. My son doesn't have these particular problems, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But whatever's going on in Illinois, they need to address it. And doubling down isn't working. They've been doubling down for two decades on these isolation cells for kids.
Yeah. And that's always the government solution, is double down on the brutality, you know? Oh, everything we've done for the drug war so far has failed? Oh, well, let's ramp up penalties. Let's do the same thing, but do it more.
And what it illustrates here is that the state, and that by that I don't mean just the state of Illinois, I mean any organization that claims a monopoly privilege over the use of violence in a given landmass, the state really doesn't know what to do except to put you in prison or kill you.
Right.
Like, those are its solutions to problem child, as it were. I mean, okay, well, you're not behaving yourself. Here's a fine or some probation. Oh, well, you're not behaving yourself on that? Well, then here's some jail. You're not behaving yourself on that? Well, here's some prison. Well, you know, you're not behaving yourself on that? Here's some death. And... Yeah. That's how it goes over and over again. That's all they've got is imprisonment. And if you don't comply, ultimately death. Because, I mean, you know as well as I do, ladies and gentlemen, you don't pull over for that cop with the flashing lights. They're going to stop your car, and it could be with deadly force.
Oh, yeah.
The death penalty is just for disobedience. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. Live. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. The phone lines are open. It is Mark with you.
and nobody from electnobody.com.
Nobody, I got some good news for you.
Did I get elected?
No.
Okay.
CNBC.com. House committee approves landmark bill legalizing marijuana at the federal level.
Yes, read that today. Actually saw the headline. I haven't read the story yet.
The House Judiciary Committee approved a bill Wednesday that legalizes marijuana on the federal level, removing it from Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but first I want to tell you about LibertyCon. LibertyCon's a unique liberty convention, April the 3rd through the 5th in Washington, D.C., for people who want to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations for the purposes of career advancement or business or internship opportunities. Hear from a list of incredible speakers such as John Mackey, the Whole Foods CEO and co-founder, who will speak on consensus capitalism. Vernon Smith, who won the Nobel Prize in Economics, will speak on alternative markets. Miriam Issa, who is a pop culture expert and political commentator with over 300 million YouTube videos. And Nisim Nicholas Taleb, who spent 21 years as a risk taker, quantitative trader, before becoming a researcher in philosophical, mathematical, and practical problems with probability. There is still more. Visit libertycon.com for more details and additional speakers and events. Use code FTL to save $10 on your registration. Why is it so little? It's because the price of the ticket is so cheap. Just go check it out there at libertycon.com. Student travel scholarships are available and discount rooms for everyone at the Marriott Marquis. Save with an early registration at libertycon.com. Use code FTL for the $10 discount. We intend to be there, libertycon.com. So,
you know, two questions I got about that. First, the guy used to be a risk taker and now he's not. How do you stop?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I thought he was like some kind of investor, and maybe he made enough investments that it was time to stop.
Oh, okay. But, you know, everything you do is a risk.
Oh, indeed.
And everything you don't do is a risk.
There's always risks.
Of course, that kind of answers my other question. My other thing was he gets paid for taking risks. I do that all the time for free.
The House Judiciary Committee approved a bill Wednesday that legalizes marijuana on the federal level, removing it from Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act. Please, ladies and gentlemen, understand, this is a House Judiciary Committee. This is not the House of Representatives, just a committee.
Yeah.
But they've made an approval, and it's a first step towards federal legalization. Yeah. Now,
if you want to know the rest of the steps, I highly recommend I'm Just a Bill by Schoolhouse Rock. Find it on YouTube. It's great, and it explains how this works. It just doesn't talk about the bribery.
Right. The graft, the corruption. It also doesn't mention the state level marijuana laws. So if,
right,
for instance, you're in Utah, I'm just guessing here. I don't know what Utah's rules are, but I'm pretty sure they don't have recreational marijuana.
Nope. And as a matter of fact, I called up a company in Utah because it was a pharmaceutical company, and they donated $500,000 to keep marijuana illegal there. And interestingly enough, this same pharmaceutical company is the one that was just cited for bribing doctors to give oxycodone to their patients who don't need it.
Yeah, I think that that pain management is something that marijuana has a pretty good track record with. Not every time. But the thing is that different drugs work well for different people. Some people can take opiates for a year, never get addicted to them, and just get right off. Other people, their life is ruined by these drugs.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And the people whose lives are ruined, to be fair to the pharmaceutical industry, the people whose lives are ruined, they've got something going on psychologically when they stop. You know, it's the prescription that tells them where the out is, these drugs can be an out. But my guess is that those people would have been in AA 30 years later because they were probably problem drinkers. They were probably already doing something to escape their inner turmoil, whatever it was. But, you know, turning them on to oxycodone isn't going to help.
Well, I don't know what the particular issues are. I know some people can't even take opiates, that it binds them up, their digestive system, and they just can't take them.
Yeah.
So there needs to be alternatives for that. And, you know, something besides Motrin that's going to eat up your liver over time. Marijuana, it's up to a person and their doctor what medicines they should be using to treat whatever it is that's going on with them. And if they just want to smoke pot for fun, well, let's compare it to people who drink for fun. And we can see that the societal damage that is done by alcohol is significantly higher than the societal damage that's done by marijuana.
I think this is all brought on by the pizza lobby, because the pizzas are terrified of stoners. We will demolish pizzas. You know, we're good with everything else, but pizzas fear us.
How would pizzas get delivered without stoners is what I want to know.
Well, there would be a lot fewer pizza places.
So this is the first step in getting this bill approved. It was passed. It has a high chance of approval in the full House, where Democrats control the chamber. Who knows what's going to happen with the Republicans? And, you know, these things oftentimes have to bounce against the wall a couple of times before they go through.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government doesn't seem to be doing much in the places where marijuana is legal. As a matter of fact, the federal government is making its laws in a district where recreational marijuana is legal. The politicians are surrounded by people who can, if they wish, smoke marijuana legally. So,
and that doesn't stop them from wanting to deny that right to the rest of us.
And Joe Biden, you know, just proving.
Now, of course, in D.C., though, you're still subject to the federal law. So technically, you could be arrested there.
Right. The feds aren't really doing anything in any of these places, though.
Right.
And Joe Biden, as though he does not want to be elected president, has come out against marijuana legalization because he believes it's a gateway drug.
Wow. Child molester and an idiot.
Well, I mean, it's a gateway drug in so much as it's illegal.
Uh-huh.
And that's really it. So once you show a young person that this banned substance is not so bad, then they're much more likely to try the next banned substance. So I will agree that it is a gateway drug, but only because the government made it so.
So all they need to do is bring back prohibition, and then alcohol will be the gateway drug, because nearly everybody tries alcohol, a more dangerous drug, before they try marijuana, a less dangerous drug.
And
it just doesn't get counted because alcohol is legal.
And when I was a kid, cigarettes were always tried before those other two, you know.
Sure.
It almost always goes cigarettes, or almost always went. I don't know what it's like now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cigarettes, alcohol, marijuana, then the rest of it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
however far that kid is programmed by his life to go, because most people never go beyond alcohol and marijuana. You know, 95% of them, or 90% of them, never do. And of those who do, very few of them really develop a problem.
Right.
With drugs. Most people do them a few times and then they're done with that.
Right. Most people will try marijuana a few times and then they'll not like the effects, and they won't use it again for many, 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 many years, or never again at all.
Yeah. Or they'll smoke weed while they're a teenager and then quit when they're 20 and just go on with their life because they have other things they have to do.
And I know, having a child, I am not comfortable with the notion that one day my son is going to try some kind of mind-altering substances. I don't like thinking about that. It upsets me. But I can also tell you that I can look at the facts surrounding prohibition, and whether it's marijuana or whatever it might be, and I can see that the consequences of the prohibition are worse than the consequences of the drug on a societal level. The best thing I can do is be the best parent that I can be, and make myself a resource for my son, so that if he wants to talk about something like this, that he would come to me. And, you know, as much as I'm uncomfortable with the idea, I'm even more uncomfortable that pimply-faced 16-year-olds are going to introduce the most important person in my life to dangerous substances.
Hmm.
So I'd rather him talk to me about it first. 855-450-3733. How'd you talk to your kids about drugs and alcohol? I'd love to hear it. 855-450-3733. Free topic.
Business owners, you want more customers? Accept cryptocurrencies. There's people all around you just waiting to spend money at your store. If only you would take it. I know, you've been waiting till someone else makes it easy. Well, good news. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com adds Bitcoin to your point of sale, totally free. Use the same equipment you already have, now with Bitcoin. And unlike credit cards, there's no fees. Let the guys at HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com bring new customers to your store. HelpMeTakeBitcoin.com.
Free Talk Live.
That's right, it is Free Talk Live, and we are kicking off the third hour of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
And nobody.
You are free to call in and talk live here on the airwaves. That's what we do on Free Talk Live. And we were in the previous hour and the hour before that talking about schools in Illinois, government schools in Illinois, using a confinement system, rubber rooms, basically, for kids and
cages.
Well, yeah, I mean, and if you don't like that particular behavior, well, you can just stop funding the government schools, right? No, not really.
Well, you can, but they'll take your house, and if you try and stop them, they'll kill you.
Right. And that's how it works. And ultimately, it is a... it's a little scary, this idea. Well, hear from the union leader. That's the big newspaper in New Hampshire, right out of Manch Vegas, as they like to call it around here, Manchester. Gilmanton. I don't know where that is. Do you? There's lots of little towns in New Hampshire.
I got nothing.
Gilmanton man sues not to pay school portion of tax bill as he has no kids enrolled.
Nice.
Laconia. Well, so there it is, up the near Laconia. A Gilmanton man has filed suit against the town, claiming that he should not be forced to pay the school portion of his municipal tax bill because he has no children enrolled. Joseph S. Haas of 67 Mountain Road filed a complaint in Belknap County Superior Court seeking $12,952 from the town, claiming that on Halloween 2018, he gave the town's tax collector notice that there's no child or children attending the local government schools, asserting that the tax bill was an invoice for goods or services received. Haas has filed for an abatement with the selectman and was denied. In addition to seeking the return of the education portion of his tax bill, Haas is also asking the court to issue an injunction barring the town treasurer from paying to SAU 79 the monies either legally and or unlawfully taken by the town, In response to the suit, the town noted that, as Haas has in several cases before Belknap Superior Court and the Board of Land and Tax Appeals, asserted claims that the local and statewide education levy components of the town's tax bill are illegal and unconstitutional. According to the town, Haas makes no allegation that his property is disproportionately assessed or that he is unable to pay the tax bill, and as a result fails to state a tax abatement claim for which relief might be granted. Because in New Hampshire, if you, you can't pay your tax bill, then they'll give you some kind of poverty abatement. And if your house is assessed improperly, then you can, have that looked at. But, there's some towns will have kind of a little discount for being a veteran, and that's about it. In Florida, they had...
But you can't get conscientious objector status.
No, that's interesting. The conscientious objector is something that's reserved for, those that might participate in the military, but not when it comes to funding the state.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird because you can be a conscientious objector from fighting a war, but not from waging
a war. Not from paying for it, yeah.
And you wage a war... by paying the soldiers to go out and kill people.
Yes.
And I object. I'm not going to do that.
And the Quakers have several times, other war protesters, but Quakers generally are considered some of these. They'll withhold paying that portion of their taxes, or they'll voluntarily be below the poverty level in order to not have to pay taxes. A variety of systems that they have for, you know, not making enough money or not paying the government.
Yeah. Poverty and working off the books pretty much works for me. I had an unbroken record of not no taxes since 1999, but last year I filed for the first time. The reason is because I had to take an on-the-books job, and so they already had my money. The question was, am I going to take it back?
Right.
And so for the same reasons that I try to avoid paying it, I took it back.
Yeah, I don't have a particular problem with that. I mean, some people don't want to give their, you know, any more paperwork to the government, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
But in New Hampshire, for instance, they do have this child seclusion thing. They're probably not doing it nearly as often as they are in Illinois in the article we just read in the previous couple of hours. And if you didn't hear that, you can always go to archives.freetalklive.com. We have every episode there labeled, and, you know, you can get it for free. Going back for like 17 years, I think. Archives.freetalklive.com. Attorney Justin L. Passy of Donahue, Tucker, and Cinadella, Portsmouth, is a lawyer's office, asserted on behalf of the town that Gilmanton's tax assessment of the property is proportional and reasonable, and asked the court dismiss the case. Now, you were talking about conscientious objector status, Rich. What if you objected to this seclusion tactic that they use in schools? Shouldn't you be able to withhold your funding from a school that uses a school district that can use this?
I certainly think so. And for that matter, if you object to the police shooting people down like dogs in the street, you should be able to withhold that portion. Yeah, there's a lot of things that we should be able to withhold for.
It's interesting that the government says that they fund the things that wouldn't be funded in their absence. But, I mean, it seems like people want education and security. If they were worth it, wouldn't the people pay for it?
Well, certainly, and it would be a lot cheaper because, you know, to educate kids, all you need are teachers, a principal, and a janitor. You know, that's if you're going to go the school route and do mass education.
Some schools, the kids do the janitor's work.
that's common in Japan and other places. But the thing is, anything on top of that, any local school district, well, that's a cost without a benefit. The State Department of Education, cost without a benefit. Federal Department of Education, cost without a benefit. They don't do anything to educate kids. They just tell people what to do. And most of the time, what they tell them is lunacy.
So according to this lawyer, in response to the complaint made by Haas, the guy who does not want to pay for school since he doesn't have any kids, his arguments bear a resemblance to several other complaints he's filed against the town of Gilmanton and the town of Boscawen in Superior Court, and which revolve around the core argument that the municipality's assessment of state and local education taxes are illegal or unconstitutional. To the town's knowledge, all of Haas's other cases have been dismissed. Haas, who is representing himself, has requested a jury trial and has asked the judge to allow other taxpayers to join in the case should they choose. I think that made it interesting. I really think it's wrong to charge people for other people's kids. I mean, what about my dog? He's got to eat. Why aren't you people paying for my dog's dog food?
Yeah.
And when we're talking about education, now in the modern age, you can get an education online. Education is free currently.
Yeah.
And if they wanted to, I mean, you know, currently there are online schools. If they wanted to open these up to kids to learn online, they could. That would fill their mandate for educating the masses or whatever. But it wouldn't fill the traditional role of schools, which is middle-class welfare babysitting day prisons.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my son for years and years didn't go to a school and read and did math and all those things. If he could read, should he thank a teacher? Well, no. He shouldn't. He should thank the baby reading kit that taught him to read when he was like 19 months old.
Wow. So did you teach him to read, or did he? Did we just you just sit him down with the stuff?
Well, there was the baby reading kit thing, and there were some flashcards, some videos. He didn't get to watch any videos but those videos at the time. He wasn't allowed to watch TV at all. Mm-hmm. And so he was excited about that. You know, any video he could watch. Free Talk Live. Talk Live, 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. Call in, talk about whatever you want. As well, we got a couple of people on the line here. I want to tell you real quick about Anarchapulco. Where do you want to be in late February? Well, in the freezing cold north of the United States, or beautiful Acapulco, Mexico, with Ron Paul, John McAfee, Sherry Peel Jackson, Doug Casey, Freeway Rick Ross, Del Bigtree, Jeff Berwick, Larkin Rose. The list goes on here. It just keeps on going. So many people at such a fun event. And Acapulco, we've gone for, I think, the last 3 years. And I've been to, I think this will be the seventh one, which means that I would have been at six of them so far. Great event, and it's in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico, and it's from February the 13th through the 16th. They've got the resort there. They're talking about entrepreneurship, investment, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, personal relationship, everything that anybody who cares about liberty would care about. And just go use promo code FTL when you sign up at anarchapulco.com. I believe there's a few more days on their discounted ticket, so go there now, anarchapulco.com, and get your tickets. Let's go to Brody calling in from Utah. Here, let me figure this thing out. Brody, you're on Free Talk Live.
Great. Hey, yeah, the reason I'm calling, and I hope you forgive me if I explain this poorly, but is because I want to talk about what I think is the most important issue for liberty, and it kind of goes along the lines of what you guys were just talking about. And what that is I don't hear anybody in the liberty community really talking about this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you guys have. But what it is really just asking the government to to dispute an issue with the government and ask them to have an independent private resolution service, or use a private resolution service to resolve the dispute.
So if you have a problem with the government, try to get them to use some kind of arbitration service?
Correct. Because okay. it's like this guy you're talking about who's having a problem with paying taxes for schools. Well, he's asking the government. It goes along the lines of, the rule of law states that you have to have an independent tribunal or independent judge.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And so you can't have rule of law if one of the parties in a dispute gets to decide the dispute, which right. is what happens with all governments is, if, you know, they send me a property tax bill. If I go and dispute it, well, they say, well, yeah, you can use our system. So we need to be explaining to them, oh, okay, great. If I sent you a bill, would you come to my system? Would you let me be the judge? Because that's ridiculous. That's idiotic. Yeah. That's stupid. And I don't hear anybody, like, I don't hear the Libertarian Party talking about this, trying to fight for our right to have an actual independent dispute resolution service to resolve the dispute between us and the government if we don't believe the government has the right to make and enforce laws.
Well, the argument has definitely been made by Keen people in court.
Keen, New Hampshire.
That the people, activists who have worked with us, that basically the process was rigged because the judge and the prosecution were working for the same people.
Yeah, they get their paychecks from the same folks.
And unfortunately, we haven't made much headway with that argument.
Strangely, the people that would let the case go off to arbitration don't want to let go of the power that they have either.
Yeah, so the unfortunate thing is the only way to make them do that would be to change statute, which means, again, you can only change that by going and asking the government. So I like the idea of having completely independent arbiters, though. I just think we're going to have to burn down the government that we have before that ever has a chance of happening. But it's certainly a nice vision not to have, you know, the people who are sworn to control your life also controlling who wins disputes about how they control your life.
Right. The thing is, and I understand people have been making those arguments, but I think what people need to do is not necessarily make the argument, but just ask, just even ask them, hey, I have a dispute with your organization. That's not fair that your organization gets to decide the dispute, I don't think. So I think, you know, what about having a private arbiter resolve our dispute? You know, I just don't hear anybody actually asking for a private arbiter. Is all I'm saying.
I would feel a little ridiculous ringing up the ladies at the town hall and saying, you know, ring, ring. Mm-hmm. Who would I talk to about having an independent arbiter settle my dispute with the town?
Sure.
And, but see, I would say the thing.
I mean, they're
that
not the government; they're just
do,
the bureaucrat. You
if
know?
You could find a, if you could find an arbiter who is willing to take on the job,
I'll do it.
What I would do is have them handle it the same way they would handle any other arbitration, where the parties were not regularly doing business with each other, which is say, okay, well, I feel I have a claim against this person. Could you reach out to them and see if you can get them to come to arbitration with me?
Who would they even send?
I would make my claim against the chief executive because the buck stops with him.
In most towns in New Hampshire, there isn't a chief executive. They have a selectman board of 3 or 5 selectmen. And so, I mean, they have to show up for
that's the legislature. The executive power in Keene, for example, is split between the mayor, who gets very little of it, and the town manager, the city manager, who gets the lion's share of the authority. I ran for mayor, so I actually read the city charter because I figured I should know what it said. So it would be the city manager or a subordinate manager, like you might try to arbitrate against the guy who ran the jail or the chief of police. But my guess is no matter who your arbitrator was, that person and whoever you brought it against, that person would just say, well, they don't have any authority, so I'm not going to do that.
So, Brody, do you have any insight about implementation? I agree with your point that the government deciding whether or not the government is liable is a really terrible system. How would we implement this idea?
Well, and that's what I was kind of getting out of the first as well, is that I don't hear a whole lot about it in the liberty community. And so I think the main thing is get the word out, because obviously if it's just myself or just you yourself, they're going to ignore you. I mean, my plan I'm kind of thinking of is start actually going to my direct neighbors and talking to them about it. Maybe call into the city and record a conversation, get it on TikTok, see if I can get people excited about it. But the word's got to get out.
Huh. Well, hey, if you do any of that, please come to our Discord server and post about it so we find out about it, because I will definitely promote what you're doing.
Thanks for the call. Free Talk Live.
Thank you.
Anarchapulco is the world's foremost conference for voluntarist thinkers and activists, held in beautiful Acapulco, Mexico. Share ideas on how to live free and escape the clutches of the state. Their unparalleled lineup of speakers will discuss entrepreneurship, investments, politics, philosophy, health, sustainability, lifestyles, and personal relationships. Stay in a world-class resort and enjoy the sun and beaches. February the 13th through the 16th, visit anarchapulco.com for early bird pricing and 10% off with coupon code FTL.
Talk Live. Call in. Talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
And nobody.
855-450-3733. Pope Nobody the First. ElectNobody.com. What are you running for now? What mischief are you up to?
Running for New Hampshire governor. And my promises include a pardon for every victimless crime in New Hampshire history.
Wow, there you go. I wonder if you could do that in one statement, or you just have to spend all day signing pardons.
If I die of writer's cramp, I die.
Are you going to be at Forkfest this year?
I'm going to be at Forkfest. Oh, absolutely.
What do you like the best about Forkfest?
The thing I like about Forkfest is... it is so relaxing because there is no, like, there isn't any authority there to irritate me. Not even pork rangers.
You're talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival, of which Forkfest is a fork of.
Indeed.
It's a fork of Porkfest.
Indeed. They told us to go fork ourselves, so we did.
And indeed we have.
Not true. We still go to Porkfest.
The beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. So check out Forkfest.party. It's a great event, just a camping festival. Nobody's in charge, but you're in charge of you. And some people throw parties, some people serve food, people do all kinds of things.
It's like anarchy.
Well, you decide. It's Forkfest.party. Let's go to Mike calling in from Washington. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, you guys. You know, this is turning out, I'm really glad that I listened to this show. Now, I'm an older guy, so.
Join the club
for me. I wanted to talk about some numbers of, I would say, BS numbers I heard on the news today about the cost of an individual homeless person.
The cost of a homeless person?
I didn't even know you could buy them.
It was a city that said this guy sleeping on our sidewalk costs us $30,000 a year. That's what we invest in him. Work-related Social Security disability. My income is $1,375 a month, less than $15,000 a year. I pay almost $700 for rent. I have none of that food stampy stuff. I do have free medical from the VA. How could that number be possible when I'm actually paying my own way for less than $15,000 a year for one person? And they're saying that they're letting somebody sleep on the sidewalk. And so, in other words, is it bureaucracy? I didn't go to high school. Isn't just the cost of their own bureaucracy and everybody trying to do this, and this to the tune of taxpayers spending $30,000? Or am I just stupid because I didn't go to high school?
Well, I'd like to know what they include in that number. What are the line items? I mean, are they counting?
Well, it's not lodging. It's not lodging.
Yeah. Well, yeah, clearly.
Right.
Is it the cost of the sidewalk he's sleeping on?
And the food literally does come from trash cans and churches, bless their hearts, for feeding people. I came from Aberdeen, Washington. It's a horrible situation. But that mayor from that town has lost his little reign of 4 years. He's 23 years old. Anyway, he's gone. So the new guy, will see what happens. But they just invested over $500,000 in the homeless situation, and they're camped out in front of City Hall.
Homelessness seems to be a much bigger problem on the West Coast than it is on the East Coast.
I don't know why, because it sucks for the weather here. Why would you want to? I mean, it's raining for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I would presume the reason is that there's got to be. So we have a very nice soup kitchen in Keene, New Hampshire, and we have a homeless issue.
Is it a no barrier soup kitchen?
I don't know how one labels soup kitchens.
Well, no barrier means it doesn't matter if you're strung out on heroin, you get a meal.
As I understand it, that's
I'm pretty sure they will feed anybody unless that person becomes a problem
physically,
there. Yeah. People have been banned for getting in fights there, I know.
But otherwise...
Those are real people. Those are real people that do that, that feed like that. Those are awesome people.
And they've got that. But every surrounding town doesn't have a homeless problem. And... towns that surround those towns don't really have homeless problems. The homeless people...
Right, because the services are there.
Go where the services are. And my presumption would be that the services on the West Coast are better than the services on the East Coast, so it attracts these folks that want these services. And, you know, as long as... Different migrants
are going to make a difference there, too, because California is a sanctuary state, Oregon is a sanctuary state, Washington is a sanctuary state, as I understand it, or at least their West Coast cities are sanctuaries. So that's going to, you know, I think there are going to be a lot of people who are here illegally who aren't going to want to leave that set of states.
When I was in Portland, they had tents on the sidewalk, and to get them out in front of the post office, they had to put an eviction notice up for like 14 days or something on a tent. I can assure you that.
Did you live in Portland?
No, I was just there visiting.
I love Portland.
Portland's.
I'm gonna let somebody else get on here. But hey, how long do you think I could get to Porkfest in a manual wheelchair from Gold Bar, Washington?
Well, you could, but you better start
how
now.
How much time do I have? How much time do I have?
Get a GoPro, document your journey. We had a guy ride a bike here from Portland, but we haven't.
No,
had...
he walked. The guy walked from Portland.
Okay, the guy. Where'd the guy ride the bike from?
Florida. A fishing pole on my wheelchair with a can, and I'll bet somebody would put. I just think it would be just neat, you know. I only have so many years, and I'd like to go. But anyway, hey, you guys, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for calling.
Check out ForkFest.Party. Yeah, as I understand it, they do have.
I'm going there as soon as you're done. I'm going to go. That's where I'm headed.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
That's ForkFest.Party.
Right. Yeah, we have. They do ride shares, and people are coming from all over. So. There may very well be somebody who's coming from there that doesn't mind sharing a ride for some gas. So, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Does ForkFest.Party have a link to the Telegram group?
Yes. Okay. ForkFest.Party is basically a link to everything. So there is a Telegram, which is a messaging app for ForkFest, and you can get involved there. So this gentleman who decided that he would file a lawsuit because he doesn't have kids in school and doesn't want to pay the school portion. And I think that's a reasonable complaint. Obviously, the New Hampshire town that his complaint is filed against does not agree. But he's quite a character. He is representing himself in this situation. He's requested a jury trial. He's asked the judge to allow other taxpayers to join in the case should they choose to. And I think all that's fine. In 2017, he made an unsuccessful bid for town treasurer, vowing to comply with state law, requiring collateral in coin and to dispense with checks as a form of payment. He's no stranger to challenging legal process in New Hampshire. The Telegraph, this newspaper, reported that Haas was accused of threatening future U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte and her family. In 2004, when she was a attorney general, Haas says he approached Ayotte about the speedy trial rule on behalf of a friend, and he said she rebuffed him, and then made the analogy of the Pharaoh facing plagues in the Bible's Book of Exodus for not letting Moses and his chosen people go.
Did she ever actually prosecute him for threatening a plague of frogs? Because, you know, doesn't it have to be within the reasonable expected ability of a human for it to be a threat?
I can tell you that a listener of this show said he bought a gun and he was going to use it to shoot me in the back of the head, and the cops wanted nothing to do with the case.
Well, that was pretty vague what he said.
Yeah, right, that's so vague. It's not like he's taking steps.
Yeah.
The remark was construed as a threat, he said, and he was arrested, but then released on bail. Of course, you're released on bail. That's what bail's for. That doesn't say anything about the disposition of the case. Whatever. 3 years later, the Telegraph reported Haas was convicted of criminally threatening city councilor Terry Dudley.
Is that really how they reported the end of the case? Is he was released on bail?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
The charges must have been dropped then, because he was neither acquitted nor convicted. Wow.
He used the expression wise up or die and invoked an image of Dante's Inferno in regards to Dudley, the guy that felt threatened to the city councilor who opposed one of his initiatives. So he's expressive. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. Talk Live. It's the final segment. We might be able to squeeze your call in at 855-450-3733. Mark with you.
And nobody.
That's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. Got a story here from Gwinnett County, Georgia. A man on his way to a job interview said officers used a taser on him three times for jaywalking. Police say he refused verbal commands and physically resisted. So, this is an issue out there in the world. And it's one that I don't have to deal with. I jaywalk all the time. I look both ways. If there's not a car coming, zip, I go across the street. I do it in cities across America. And... You know, I try not to be, I try very hard not to be a hindrance to those people. I yield the right of way to the people that have the right of way from my estimation. And I just get across the street. But there's this situation in the South that is claimed that black men have a heck of a time crossing streets without using the signals. And anybody who's had to cross the street knows that walking down 150 feet to the light, then crossing, waiting for the light, and then crossing there, and then coming back the 150 feet, it's a lot harder than just zipping across the road when things are easier to do. Now, I've never been a black man, and I've never lived in Gwinnett County, Georgia, so I don't know what happened here.
But if I was the one, I wouldn't do the other. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well... this all began in March when the officers gave John Efford a jaywalking citation on Holcomb Bridge Road in Gwinnett County. Efford said that a couple of minutes later, the same officers approached him again, saying that he jaywalked again. He said that's when they refused to answer his question and began tasing him. I was terrified, said Efford. He was charged with two counts of obstruction and improper crossing of a roadway. Police said that Jones sent a use of force report that indicated that the level of force used was within its policy. It said that Efford refused to follow verbal commands and physically resisted. An officer's body cam video recorded the incident. Hands behind your back now, cuff him. You're going to get tased again, the officer is heard in a video. So this guy's on his way to a... job application or job interview, doesn't want to be hindered. I'm presuming the cams show what the police say because the WSB2.
Although frequently they don't. That's not really a safe assumption.
Well, I don't know.
Right.
Like, the idea of going after somebody at jaywalking, I mean, what's the harm and where's the victim?
Yeah.
Is what I want to know. If I'm walking down the side of the road and the police want to, you know, be a problem and I'm like, hey, I don't want to talk to you right now. And you can do that. You don't have to talk to a police officer simply because they want to talk to you. You can just keep on walking. But if they decide to say you committed a crime, walking, you know, you're walking along the side of the road, jaywalking's an easy thing to claim.
Right.
And in my case, it would probably be true. I've jaywalked probably, you know, most weeks of my adult life.
And it is a tried and true Southern law enforcement technique. They, for example, during the civil rights era, they started charging the activists with spitting on the sidewalk, which was a law on the books, but it never got enforced except for against civil rights activists. And eventually there were cases for what's called misuse of process because they determined that this was being used just to harass civil rights demonstrators.
Right. I mean, and the civil rights movement actually did use jaywalking. They walk in the middle of the road from one location to the other to sort of, you know, make their plight known, whatever the case is. I don't think, personally, I don't like the sort of activism that impedes traffic. So I wouldn't participate in that. But jaywalking, like, you know, when I say jaywalking, I mean not going to a light, not waiting for a little command from a little light to cross the street. And then, you know, taking the long way. Mm-hmm. Now, when I'm here in Keene, New Hampshire, I know how these lights work. I know where they are, and I get the timing. I can look at it, and I can see what's going on. I know how a traffic light works. I know when cars are stopped. I can figure this out. Mm-hmm. I presume that the crosswalk buttons are for mothers with baby buggies and the geriatric. If you can't get across a street by looking at the lights and seeing which cars are stopped, you're a mental invalid. And I'm not saying there aren't mental invalids. By all means, let's have these little lights for them. But, yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes I park across the street from a restaurant, because that's how parking works here in Keene, New Hampshire.
Sure.
And I'm not going to go all the way down to the light 200 feet away to cross so that I can then walk another 200 feet back to the restaurant when I could just wait until no cars are doing anything and walk across the street. No crosswalk needed. I don't need to stand in a crosswalk like a sanctimonious a-hole and demand that every car stop for my forward progress. It's bad behavior. But here in New Hampshire, it's the whole drive with courtesy, and there's this big fine for not yielding to somebody in a crosswalk and all that stuff. And these pedestrians get so sanctimonious about it. I'm like, just go. I can get past the car. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, the drivers irritate me too, because I'll be standing on the side of the road and they'll stop their car.
Right.
And it's like, just go.
Well, that's got to be fear-based, right? You're somewhere near the crosswalk. So they're like there trying to wave you across. I don't want to cross the street. I'm just standing here. I'll cross the street when I'm ready. Thank you.
It's social pressure-based. But we got a caller?
Yeah, we got a caller. Let's go to Joe calling in from Florida. Joe, you're on Free Talk Live. Joe,
hey, guys, how we doing?
All's well. What's on your mind?
Oh, I just want to thank you guys for your format. I'm a 51-year-old radio talk show junkie, and I've listened to everybody and everything over 20 years, and I've finally found a format that I think free-thinking, educated people can enjoy, and that's your guys' show.
Well, thanks. Well,
thank you.
And did you find us on the radio, or how are you listening?
I found you guys late night on the radio here in Vero Beach, Florida.
Ah.
And, after raising my kids and trying to figure out what I really wanted to do with my free time, I decided I wanted to become a libertarian.
Groovy. Well, the world needs more of those.
I'll tell you this. The guy who used to manage the station group down there in Vero, Big Jim Davis, the voice of WOR-FM in New York City, is the one that gave Ian and I our break on radio. He's the one who put the show on the air for the first time on a little 3,500-watt FM in Sarasota. Actually, it was licensed to Rotunda, Florida, and sometimes on a good night it would make it into Sarasota. And, I mean, you know, the first night was a Sunday night from 7 to 11, which, as you know, is Siberia, you know. And we were wall-to-wall calls on a local station, and they were delighted to have us, and shortly we were weeknights. So, Vero holds a special place in my heart.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah. But you guys keep doing what you're doing. We appreciate it. I'm out here preaching the message. I'm, in college, I was a Democrat. After I had kids, I was Republican. And now that I've raised my kids, I'm a libertarian. So,
well, Nice. One of the things we've done is many of us have, many of the libertarians, and I'm not saying you want to do this, I'm just telling people who might consider it, is that we picked up and moved to New Hampshire. There are, at this point, 5,000 Free State Project members and many others that have moved for the Great Freedom Migration for a variety of reasons. The idea is just to concentrate as many libertarians in one state and see what that does. So maybe you'll come up to Forkfest and hang out with us.
Reinforce us, bro. We need your kind up here.
Okay. All right. I'm for the while, I'm going to hold the fort down here and try to sell off my property when it goes up, and then I'll make a move.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it.
We'll keep a light on for you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the idea with New Hampshire. We don't know how it's going to work out having all these libertarians here, but at least we have somebody to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So nice to once in a while interact with somebody who doesn't think I'm crazy.
Well, we still think that.
Well, doesn't think I'm wrong.
Thank you, Pope Nobody. As if to punctuate it. Check us out at freetalklive.com. Sign up for our newsletter. It's right there on the front page, freetalklive.com. All right, it's another edition of the Edgington Post Show. I am Mark Edge here for Free Talk Live. Today I've got with me, well, an interesting fella. And his name is Jeffrey Prather. Jeffrey, you there?
Hi. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Certainly. I've got your bio sheet here, and I've never seen one like it in my life. You know, besides having appeared on Drudge, Fox, Laura Ingraham, and a variety of other places, you're a former intelligence officer, denounced by the deep state. You've served with the Southern, I'm not sure what SOCOM is. I think that's something to do with intelligence or something like that.
That's Special Operations Command.
Special Operations Command, DEA, DIA. You're the fast and furious whistleblower. You're a martial arts master, a firearm instructor, and a chaplain trained by both a ninja and an Apache. So where do you want to start with this one, Jeffrey?
Wherever you like.
I'm interested in let's go with the ninja and the Apache. Start with your strong suits.
Okay. So I've been in Japanese martial arts for 50 years, and I am a Daishihan, which means senior master in the Bujinkan, which means divine warrior school. My teacher is the grandmaster in Japan in Noda-shi, Chiba-ken. That's Noda City, Chiba State in Japan. And he is the grandmaster of the Bujinkan, and that is the only real surviving ninja tradition. It's about 900 years old. It's Togakeru Nippo Taijutsu. And I've been teaching that here in Tucson, my dojo, for 29 years.
And can you help me out with what a ninja is? So, I mean, this is a term that's, you know, corrupted and misunderstood and these sorts of things. Because for me, a ninja could be two things. It could be a samurai sent to assassinate who doesn't sort of meet in a duel or, you know, a warlike situation. Or it could be sort of a serf, the Japanese version of a serf that's sick and tired of the overlord and is, you know, staging some kind of violent rebellion. Which one of those is the truth?
Both and neither.
Okay.
just like with the Apache, I also studied under an Apache medicine man and wrote a book on it. But the ninja, some ninja were samurai, some samurai were ninja. They lived dual lives. But basically, the ninja, like native peoples, were a counterculture to the dominant culture. So if you think of the ninja in relation to the samurai, as you think of native folks in relation to cowboys, you start to get the idea. So they were much more of a rural culture, a nature-based culture. They did work as spies, assassins, and mercenaries, but they also worked as military special operations personnel, policemen, all kinds of roles. And I really specialize in teaching the martial art. There's 9 ruha, or martial arts traditions, in the Bujinkan. And it's a very different kind of martial art in that it's very flowing and distance-oriented. It's not hard like karate do, but it does have another ruha, for example, is kotoru kopojitsu, bone breaking. But a lot of people have been in martial arts considered to be the very ultimate of martial arts because it incorporates everything: striking, throwing, rolls, punches, lots of weaponry, and all into a complete holistic system that works very well. A lot of, and it's not competitive. We have no form of competition. I like to say my students are my trophies. I have ages 3 to 73.
Hold on just 1 second. I'm sorry.
Sure.
All right. Start that over there. I'll just take that out. It's non-competitive.
It's non-competitive. So that's very different, because when you game something, when you turn a combative into a sport, you start to game it. So you start to cut corners. For example, I was also a primary firearms instructor with the Drug Enforcement Administration. And one time I went back to Quantico, to the FBI Academy ranges, and they were teaching the new agents to reload on the run. Well, that's fine for a competition, but in a real gunfight, you would not want to reload outside of cover because you've got an empty gun.
Yeah, that sounds bad.
So, yeah. So that's the difference. And we're also a lot more closer knit, so we're real family oriented. I like to say my students are my trophies as they grow up. I had them grow up and get married, had doctors, lawyers, policemen, military, all kinds of stuff happen like that. So it's real rewarding. It's a life way. It's great for personal development, protection of others, and personal, spiritual and emotional development.
Yeah, I've done jiu-jitsu, so I have some understanding of these sorts of things. It sounds like a martial art, and it's pretty cool. What was your work with the DEA?
So I was working down in Panama with 7th Special Forces Group, and I saw a team, because most Green Berets are trainers. I saw a team, a friend of mine, training another team, long-haired guys, and I thought they were CIA. It turned out they were DEA SNOCAP, which was a paramilitary law enforcement operation that used to deploy to Central and South America to interdict cocaine labs with host nation police and military. And so I was Spanish-speaking and military intelligence and had a lot of SF skills. And so I ended up getting recruited, and I became a DEA special agent back in 1990, and then a firearms instructor, and then a special operator with them. So the breadth of my career is kind of interesting in that I was military, I was federal law enforcement, and I was also intelligence. So that gives me a pretty good insight into government executive branch work.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. What can you tell me about the Fast and Furious situation? How did this all go down for you?
Sure. yeah, that was kind of a big changing point in my life. And I think it is particularly interesting to your freedom oriented audience. And I am very freedom oriented. With the Apaches and Native peoples were very interested in freedom. The Ninja, Christians, freedom is a huge focus there. And I was called to active duty back in 03 to 04 by the DIA. So I was a lot of abbreviations, but I was a Drug Enforcement Administration right. special agent at that time. But I was also a Reserve Army major. I like to say major pain in the butt because I caused lots of problems. And I was chopped, assigned to the Defense Intelligence Agency, the Pentagon's CIA. And I had been working a case the last couple of years, and I was trying to extradite the first Sinaloan cartel leader from Mexico, Miguel Caro Quintero. And I don't know how much you know about the Caro Quinteros.
All I can tell you is about El Chapo.
Oh, okay. Well, back in the day, the Quintero brothers tortured and killed Kiki Camarena, a DE agent. It was very famous in lots of books and stories about that. He was a former Marine. And so I was trying to extradite the brother. And if I pulled off the extradition, then that would have changed the whole dynamic, in that they would go to jail in Mexico or wherever, and they would live like kings, you know, and come out whenever they wanted to, kind of like Epstein. but as I did that, I ran into more and more problems. He was in jail in Mexico, and I really ran into a lot of problems fighting my own government. And so I got called. I was at the Pentagon, and I went over to DEA headquarters, which is right across the way, the freeway. And I basically said that the head of DEA, Michelle Leonhardt, was really stopping my extradition efforts. And after I said that, as soon as I said that, I'm sure the guy I was working with went up and told her. And after that, they started investigating me. They investigated me for about 5 years till about 2009. And 1 year before my retirement, without ever having a bad evaluation, without ever being charged with anything, all kinds of leaks and allegations, basically what you see going on with Kavanaugh and Trump and everybody, I was fired. And that was really hard because I didn't get my DEA retirement. Yeah. I got my military retirement, my federal retirement, but not my special agent. It's a better retirement. But it later came out in federal court that the DEA had a deal, and this was sworn to, and you can look it up, in the Niebla Zambada trial with the Sinaloan cartel to run drugs north in exchange for the guns of Fast and Furious going south. And, you know, I want to emphasize that this happened even before Obama. I'm no fan of Obama, but this was under the Bush administration, too.
It's all dirty.
And Holder. Well, I also had a civil suit against Holder for my chaplaincy beliefs. Holder, and I've been on, you know, I've been on lots of TV and news talking about this. Holder, I believe, and a lot of us believe, was the biggest criminal in the Obama administration. So, you know, you probably are familiar, you know, that the ATF ran guns south, and I was the liaison to ATF, the DEA liaison. But you may not know that Fast and Furious actually started at DEA in Arizona.
Yes.
And really what I think it was that if you are going to curtail personal freedom, then you have to begin to curtail personal weaponry. Personal weaponry ensures personal freedom.
At the very least, it's an indication of it, right? Like free men can carry around, you know, a broadsword, or a free man could carry a handgun. But, you know, a person who's not free can't.
Right. Yes. And that's the whole thing with a longbow and Robin Hood. Yep. Is you could hack a limb off a tree and you made a longbow and you could take a knight off through his armor, off his expensive war horse and armor and everything at 300 yards. So that's where democracy and freedom come from, with weapons, which is why we should always maintain our weapons. And that's what I think they were trying to do. I mean, I could talk about this for hours and go into details. But, you know, from where I sit right now talking to you, Brian Terry was murdered with Fast and Furious guns about 45 minutes from where I'm at. And I was intimately involved in that. And, you know, I respect other people's opinions to like Obama or Clinton or everything, but I won't, because they are responsible for the deaths of my brethren in Fast and Furious in Benghazi and in Syria. So that's something I speak out about quite a bit and continue to speak out about.
Agreed. you know, 100%. That's how I would see too. How did the whistleblowing part go down?
Not well. And
it never does. Learn,
well, I, you know, I tell people that if I had come back in time and told me my story, I would not have believed it. But I now know a lot of other whistleblowers, and I'm hardly the main guy. John Dotson is the ATF whistleblower hero. Vince Cifalo, a friend of mine at ATF, Jay Dobbins. I don't know if you've heard about him. Those are all friends of mine. But there's other whistleblowers too. But what happens invariably with real whistleblowers is they get discredited, they get attacked. It's really hard on them. It's really hard on their families. You know, fake documents get leaked and they get lied about. So by the way, the whistleblowers right now with Trump, those aren't really whistleblowers. Those are just leakers.
Leaks, yeah.
Doing the same thing that the Mueller report did, which was the Mueller report was a joke. And I know about it intimately because I was in the intelligence community and the Department of Justice community with top secret clearances. I know all those systems intimately. I know the abuse. And I've been saying for years, those systems have been terribly abused.
If the Mueller report had anything, Trump would have gone to jail and or been arrested or anything. And it doesn't have it.
No. And the first thing and the premise where Mueller, who was Clinton's guy anyway, and Mueller put guys in prison to let Whitey Bulger, a career murder criminal, stay out. But the premise that that the Russians hacked the DNC is totally unproven and actually very provably false. And whistleblower Bill Blinney and Montgomery at the NSA, and I've done a lot of work with the NSA, actually showed that the leaked transcripts, leaked intel, could not have come from a spear phishing. It had to be through a thumb drive. And NSA, if you remember all the agencies saying high confidence that the Russians hacked it, NSA said moderate confidence, which in government speak is a way of saying, we don't think that's the truth.
Right. So, it's very interesting. What were the sort of negative ramifications that occurred for you as far as whistleblowing goes? I mean, surely they didn't just let you walk away from that, unscathed.
Oh, no, they attacked me. They investigated me for 5 years. They called my ex-wife. They called my kids. They leaked. If you look at me online, there's still stuff out there saying that I'm a cult leader and a sexual predator. Of course, I have never been convicted of anything.
No,
but
it's just
they just
wild
leaked
accusations.
All this stuff. The same. Say again?
Just wild accusations.
Yeah, and it's funny because if I was a cult leader, Warrior School is my other company, and it's a government tactical training company. I've trained all the military, all the intelligence agencies. It would be funny because if I was a cult leader, then the main members in the tens of thousands would be the U.S. government.
Right.
They just put this stuff out there. And again, I can't emphasize enough what you saw done with Trump. And I'm not saying Trump's a saint by any means. He's not. And what you saw done with Kavanaugh, all these guys, they just do it. It's just like a template. They just follow it. Like they asked for 20 years of my tax returns, so I'm not surprised. So I'm kind of known when I'm giving speeches and on shows about predicting, and people say, how can you predict this stuff? I'm like, 'cause I went through it myself.
It's fascinating stuff. Where would people find more of your work, Jeffrey?
I have a lot of websites, but you can go to jeffreyprather.com. That's where I'm trying to expose the deep state. And I'm trying to be in America's intelligence officer now. Intelligence, is supposed to support whomever they're working for. And I did intelligence in law enforcement as well and in the military. I'm so glad to see shows like yours. And civilian journalism really is the way of the future, because the major outlets are just propaganda. So jeffreyprather.com is a great place to go if you're interested in, my native training, which is really true freedom. My book is on Amazon, Initiation, My Journey with Apache Medicine Man. Warriorschool.com still there. Bujinkan USA, lots of stuff.
I'm going to check it out. I'm here at the website now. Obviously, there's a lot of links and things to check out, but it all looks very interesting to me. Beautiful country you're in there.
It sure is.
Thanks for your time, Jeffrey.
Okay, thank you.
JeffreyPrather.com.
Gold has definitely been on the move recently, and there is no more secure investment historically. McIlvany ICA has been helping people take delivery of precious metals and find storage options for decades. They've helped thousands of investors with their precious metal IRAs. Call ICA today for your free portfolio review at 800-525-9556 or download their free report online at icagoldsilver.com to learn how you can double your gold and silver ounces even within an IRA. 800-525-9556. icagoldsilver.com.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.